Nobody's perfect.
Let it run a few minutes.
Yeah.
So get a couple of feet on there while I catch up here.
You don't have to refer to your questions very much. Do you know them pretty well, or
Well, I try and draw on what you say. Now the questions aid me quite a bit.
Yeah.
I get a little confused sometimes in orientation as to what I want to get into next. I find that this series of questions I have here keeps me in line pretty much. And there are things I want to ask you later that I've thought of a long time ago, but
yeah.
This will bring them back.
Yeah, that's. I would think it would be easy because I can see where I tend to wander at times from what you're asking, and I'm sure this is very difficult.
Well, I attempt to pick up on your wandering not cut you off, but try and get back on the track.
Right,
that's,
right.
That's the only reason I have this in front of me. But certainly, you have a constituency in Del Mar with all these voting people out here. How do you keep in touch with them?
Mostly by answering the phone. And when they call with problems, I'm there to answer and to try to help with the problems. I am here for meetings. I think there is a problem that I need to work on, all of us do, is to go out more to people to see if they have problems and try to you know, for instance, have call meetings of people to see if they do have something you want to discuss. But people, when they really have a problem, will corner you, or will call you, or will notify you through a letter, or will contact another councilman. There's really something bothering you. But I think the big problem anyone in public office is trying to keep in touch with, not just their constituency, but the whole community, which I feel this is their constituency, is the overall community. It's not just the people that they know or voted or didn't vote for them. It would be the overall community.
That's who I was referring to.
Oh, this is your letter.
That's who I was referring to as constituency.
Oh, yeah.
With your name spelled wrong, by the way.
That's all right. Everyone does. The second N is silent, you see. It throws everything.
That's what Paula was telling me. Now, what sections of Del Mar don't come forward with their problems? Or are there parts of Del Mar that don't?
It would be hard to know because if they don't come forward, you're not aware of the fact they're not there. I would think, though, that people that might hesitate... Now, I think this is where there is one difference between a man and a woman on council. I think people would tend to call me less... frequently with problems, and they would call a man. Now, a woman may call me more free, you know, easily, but I think a man would tend to call another man more commonly before he would call me on the phone, so there is some difference
what,
that way.
What reasons do you attribute to this?
I think it's just because men would prefer to talk to another man. They feel that they're intruding less on calling another man than they would calling a woman at home when she, say, during the dinner hour or something. Oh, it doesn't keep everyone from calling during the dinner hour, I have to admit. But I may be wrong on this. This is something that I think is the case. You may pick up some more feedback on this from your other questions, you know, with other people you've interviewed.
Is there an ethnic minority in Del Mar, per se?
No, I don't think so.
There is not. It's pretty much a professionally structured
society. We're really an upper middle class community. And at times maybe a smug upper middle class community, trying hard not to be.
You mean to imply that you would rather stay in upper middle class community?
This is an interesting dichotomy we're coming to now, because of the fact that it's easy to use the cry of keeping the village atmosphere of Del Mar as a cover for I have mine, I don't want anyone else to have theirs kind of thing. And this is a very hard thing to separate, and this is something that's a real problem with people that are slow growth conscious. That it's hard to separate the desire for really rational growth from those people that just don't want anything. Now that they have their place, they don't want anyone else to come and spoil it. And this is a really difficult problem to resolve. And I think this is a dichotomy we're getting in Del Mar, is that there are people that want to keep the atmosphere. And yet, by keeping the atmosphere, which I also personally favor, but by keeping it, we're going to lose a lot of social diversity that we might have had. In other words, we may be conscious of trying to get a more varied group of people living here, yet the actions that we consistently have been taking as a council has the opposite effect. It's going to keep Del Mar closed to all but those people that have a moderate to high moderate income, because our policies are less density, which means higher cost of land and houses. And So our results of our action, even though philosophically we want a variety of people, students, poorer people, younger people, older people, maybe an ethnic mixture here as well, are taking policy stands now that are really going to preclude this.
What are the council's feelings on unification with, let's say, Solana Beach? Has this come up before?
Oh, it's come up from time to time. I don't think most of us are thrilled about it because we're afraid of Del Mar losing its own integral character. There may be some people interested in it, I don't know. But I think basically the response of myself and of other people in the council would probably be one of, well, if it's really, we're developing it as a large community, we'd be losing contact with residents, we'd be losing contact with constituencies because it would be such a large area, that it's not necessarily, you know, it's not, I don't think it would be looked on with just mixed, unmixed enthusiasm. I think there'd be a great deal of questioning and skepticism dealing with this. I'm not trying to rule it out that it might never happen. I just don't know. But I don't think, you know, we're not certainly out actively trying to draw other areas into Del Mar. Let's put it that way. I mean, we seem to like the size we are now. We like Del Mar, and we don't really want to change it that much in terms of, you know, size, area, constituency, and so forth.
All right. We spoke before about pressure groups. Do you see groups like conservationists?
I'm being interviewed, so don't talk because the tape recorder is going. I want to see you guys later, okay?
I'm leaving.
Oh, coward. Have you met Tom Pearson? I've been talking about him nicely, I might add. Your tape recorder is running. Aren't you getting nervous? And Jack Shelver, our city manager. This is Hugh Chinlin.
Pleasure.
Who's interviewing me for a study thing on women in politics.
Pearson, how are you?
I'm saying all good things.
Women in politics?
Women in politics, yes, and I'm one. How about that?
Good.
Okay.
Possibly we answered that before, but you see a conservationist group here in town, a group of interested taxpayers coming forth to rally their interests in front of the council.
Yeah, and I think that John Sober and Dick Lipinski and Tom Shepard particularly reflect the interests of those groups. They are very conservation-minded. For instance, Dick's been very active in the Sierra Club, and I don't know if John or Tom have been active in the Sierra Club, but they reflect, I would say, very conservation-conscious elements in their thinking. So that I think those groups do come forward from time to time on issues, and I think that we reflect those trends of thinking right now on the council quite strongly. I think there, a lot of this was an important faction in the election, re-election of Dick, and the election of John and Tom Shepard when they ran this last time. They didn't all run this last time, but when the ones that did this last time did.
What are some of the differences between men and women, do you feel, in their response to special interest groups?
I haven't had enough experience to really know. I don't know if that's really a good question because I don't know how you'd be able to delineate this. And again, maybe some of these things come down to personal, you know, interests or you know, difference between individuals, not difference between men and women per se. I think perhaps something you could generalize on is maybe men are more used to dealing with special interest groups. I don't think women have encountered them as often because men have had more experience in public life. Okay?
Could you review some of the recent problems of the city council, large problems that we might expand on in a few minutes?
Oh, I think, as I say, the largest problems are the ones I've talked about earlier, that of growth, how much, what kind, how fast, and the fact, really, the overwhelming problem, which is that we are a small city surrounded by other jurisdictions. And that much of the change that takes place around us, it's going to affect us drastically, we have no control over. And that's a real problem, and I don't know if there's any answer to that.
All right. Do you feel, I hate to ask a do you question.
I'm sorry, you may.
Thank you. Do you feel there are differences between men and women? With concern to their dedication to issues?
I'm not sure I'm justified in this, but I somehow have the feeling that women would be more dedicated because they have fewer issues to which to lend themselves. And I think when a woman takes on an issue to work for, she usually does it very wholeheartedly. Now, there are many men that take on issues very wholeheartedly as well, but I think that very often it's one facet in their daily life, and it's one part of their life, not as an important part of their life, that they have other things that require their time and attention, so they don't have quite as much, perhaps, dedication to give to one specific issue. Now, I may be completely wrong on this. I'm not sure if I haven't gauged from experience. It's sort of a reaction through intuitive reaction rather than a rational one, so I'm not sure it's right.
Well, it's at least your opinion.
Yeah, right.
That's good. What is the ultimate power in Del Mar? Is it the
council?
Council.
Mm-hmm.
How do they relate to state and federal agencies?
I don't think I understand how you mean this. Well, in what way?
Now, the council is a city function.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, San Diego is a city function also, really.
Yeah.
There are certain state agencies, or are there state or federal agencies which fund various aspects in the city of Del Mar?
There are some, but I think that our jurisdiction stops when it, for instance, comes to a Proposition 20 or an environmental impact kind of thing. Then we have to come to grips with a law and administer a law that's created by a body beyond ourselves, so that there are certain very definite limits within which we can operate. Now, as far as federal funding goes, yes, we do have some. We're trying to get funds right now for our sewer outfall to join San Diego Metro System, so we do use federal funding, and there's state funds and gas tax funds and things like this. We use them, but I don't still think I don't understand your question very well. I mean,
do you see any special problems between, let's say small city government like this and a larger state or federal government? I mean, in your relation to working with them.
I mean, you mean, is it hard to work with them or what? I mean,
well, more or less.
Well, it's not so much hard. What you're really getting down to is a basic philosophical question of local control versus regionalism. And that's one that we're really all grappling with at this point in time. And that's one that philosophically divides a great deal of the population along Old Del Mar and New Del Mar. Because Old Del Mar would want local government, local control, and so forth. New Del Mar would want local control to a certain level, but minimized or mitigated by the need for regional solutions to problems. And Old Del Mar still looks on with suspicion regional solutions to problems. So philosophically, it's a very touchy point. As far as being difficult to work with these things, I don't think it's so much difficult is that no one's really quite worked out the relationship or the borderlines between regional and, which would be state or federal, and local control. I don't know if I'm answering your question because I really had trouble with your question, but that's...
Right, it wasn't that good.
Well, I don't know about that. I just maybe didn't get it correctly, but that's all right.
No, it didn't come across to me that well either.
Okay.
But...
You scratch that one for next time.
Right. Now, in your job as mayor, you have to do a certain amount of homework,
mm-hmm.
I would imagine that.
Mm-hmm.
What portion of your time do you dedicate to this homework? Can you
estimate
that?
It really
that?
Would depend upon the amount of material we have to deal with in a meeting. I would say at least a number of hours. And, of course, we're very lucky having a very good city manager. And so a lot of homework we'll do, but the basic elementary research is done by our city staff. That's what they're there for, or our planning commission. That's what they're there for. Then the results of this thinking we look at, and we look at some of the reasons that went into their decisions and then evaluate that material. So a lot of the homework is to some level done for us, meaning to a certain level of decision making. From then on, the decision is our own. We have to make the decision. But I would say a couple of hours anyway. Sometimes a number of hours. You'd go out and view on-site problems or look at facts and figures and maps and things. So it does take sometimes a great deal of time, sometimes very little. If you have a very light agenda, there may be an hour or so suffices, or half an hour suffices.
Okay. Now, you have certain opinions about things, all right.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily concerning Del Mar, but opinions in general.
Mm-hmm.
What media, magazines and that sort of thing, do you use to build your opinions? or even doing homework, do you rely on specific media to do your homework?
It would depend what is being discussed. There are always a lot of, say, briefs of decisions by courts and so forth that you might look at. This grant would probably come from the city attorney bringing this to us. I mean, or if there's legislation pending. There's the League of California Cities puts out bulletins on legislation that affects cities and so forth. You read newspapers, you watch television, you talk to other people to get views of what's going on. A specific problem, you might find articles dealing with, say, lighting or underground utilities from various sources. It'd be like going out to find material for a paper you were doing. You'd get a very, like right now we're studying the problem of public safety. You know, we're going to create a committee to study, evaluate our current system of public safety and see if there might be alternatives that are more viable and more economically and sound, and it would give a better level of service. Well, you do that by, first of all, interviewing people from other cities that have different systems, or getting material from them as to how they work, by getting costs and facts and figures, by getting articles and books written dealing with the problem of public safety. And it's really going out preparing as you would for a report or something, and then coming back with your facts and figures and working out these things and having done research and homework, and then trying to come up with a decision evaluating your public safety program.
Okay, we've covered small town versus regional government several times throughout the interview, I think. Would you care to summarize that right now, your feelings of regional government, why or why not?
Well, I think there is an unavoidable need for some sort of regional control in some aspects. I think the problem is delineating between those areas where local government should handle their own problems because they are not regional in nature, and those areas where you have to band together with other local entities and form a regional approach. Now, instinctively, it's difficult to accept regionalism except when justified. I mean, this is the thing that's hard for people in Del Mar to accept, the idea that regional control is the best, is the only answer. Because really people instinctively still believe, many of them, in local control, that we are masters of our own destiny and we should solve our own problems and not rely on a second or third level of government. That's the term you hear thrown about now. But I think there are times, I do think there are problems that are incapable of being solved on a local level. And those would be things like transportation, you know, what do you do with the automobile? What about a mass transport system? That's obviously beyond Del Mar's capacity to solve. Air pollution, water is another thing. Population growth, these are all problems that have grown beyond the local limits and that can't be, at this point in time, solved by Del Mar acting alone. So there are certain areas where I think regionalism and regional solutions are very beneficial. Planning may be another one. But I also don't want to see regionalism imposed on every problem that comes up within a small community, because I think we as a small community and as a governing body in a small community are much more responsive to the needs of the people here than a larger regional board would be. So that in some areas when the problems are local, I think that the local government should be left to cope with them and not have regionalism forced upon the local government in all aspects of life, only to those problems that can't be solved on a local level.
Would you care to hypothesize on the male feeling on the council concerning regional government? Is there a difference between male and female feeling?
I don't think, again, it comes to male and female. I think it comes to an individual outlook. You know, for instance, Mr. Pinsky is very regional in his outlook because he's a member of CPO, and that's the function of CPO, is to come up with regional solutions to problems that come up. So for that reason, he is very pro-regional. You might find someone like Councilman Pearson who's much less interested in regional answers, except when we're absolutely necessary. Or someone like ex-Councilman Staver, who's no longer on the council, who was really very suspicious of regional controls. And those are two men that differ very greatly. So I don't think, at least within the context of my experience, I could generalize in terms of male, female. It's strictly, I think, an individual kind of thing. And probably some women who's had much more experience in a broad arena of politics might have some answers based on sex, but I don't. I haven't had that much experience to know.
Well, speaking about the differences in sex now, what do you think are the reasons why more women aren't in public office now?
Well, I think a lot of it's been conditioning. I don't think... It's just become rather accepted in the last number of years that women go into politics. It's not really been the thing to do before. Women have been very busy raising children and homes, and there are just the last 10 or 20 years have been enough labor-saving devices where a woman has really a lot of time to give. And I think that the acceptance of men has been very slow in some areas for women. I think in our community it's been very good because we are an upper educated level. I mean, that's awkward. That we have a high degree of educated people within the community, and usually highly educated people are used to working with women in the school situation, if not beyond. They're used to dealing with women as fellow students, so that there's not this barrier of women coming in. But I think that there has been a long time that many men don't really want. They may want women in politics, but they don't want their wives in politics, perhaps, which is a distinction that I think may exist. But I think it's becoming more and more common, and I think women should be in politics because we, not aside from numerically being a large group, I think we have valid points of view that need to be expressed in the context of policy-making bodies. And sometimes there may be points of view that may ordinarily be overlooked.
Why wouldn't a man want his wife in politics?
I can think of a few men I might know that might feel this way. There might be some cases, and I'm not sure this is a widespread case, but it threatens their own self-image, and they would not want this. They see it as an unwelcome source of competition. Now, I think this is true of some men. Some men might feel that their wife has enough to do, just being a housewife and mother and ministering to their needs and to their children's needs. Now, I think this is a view that's gradually changing quite rapidly. I think to a lot of men, it just probably never occurred to them. You know, just their mothers had never been in politics, their sisters weren't in politics, so why would it enter their heads that their wives would go into politics? It's just an experience that's just gradually happening, and they've not encountered it before, and just never came to their minds.
Okay, moving on toward, well, talking more about women's role in society, do you identify at all with the women's movement?
I do very strongly, to the extent that I feel equal competence deserves equal pay. I don't mind there being differences, accepted differences in society between men and women. I think you have to have differences to enhance the qualities of people. I don't like differences being placed that put different levels on people because they're a man or a woman. Those kinds of things I don't approve of. But I don't believe in militancy. I think a person, should be allowed to do, to fulfill their inherent capabilities regardless of sex. And I think that society which offers that is beneficial. However, I do think there are some inequalities that you'll never get around that are still there because of sex. I just don't see many women going out working in the coal mines. And I don't really see women fighting over themselves to get into the coal mines. So you might argue that you're actually, you know, having two levels, that you don't want women to be coal miners. I mean, the society doesn't want women to be coal miners. But I do feel there are some differences that no matter how militant women are, they won't eradicate, and there's no reason to eradicate. And I think there might be some functions that women may do better than men that they should be allowed to predominate in. But it is hard to separate those qualities that women have and men have that are induced by society and those which are inherent. And that I really don't know. I don't think there have enough studies to show those different qualities. I think it's harder today for a woman, not today than before, but it's easier now, but it's harder for a woman than a man to achieve something outside the home. Because I think that, for instance, going back to school, that it was hard for me to be able to go back on other than a full-time basis. Now, as a woman and having a home, I think there should be some accommodation made to someone that's highly motivated to go back and yet allow that person to go back, say, in a slower level than a man student. And so far, universities and businesses don't really have that accommodation. Just as I think there should be accommodation made with businesses for hiring women to work maybe part-time, maybe 4 hours a day, and use their skills for that length of time, thus allowing the woman to have time also to give to her home and family, which to her are very important also. And I don't think there have been enough accommodations made in our society yet to allow women to do this, and to also then, by the same token, to take advantage of the skills and the capabilities that women do have and may also be acquiring.
What is your conception of the present-day women's movement?
I see it as being very zealous, as all movements are in their early stages. And I see it as being more vociferous because of some of the outspoken exponents who have received the publicity than it will at a later date. I think it's making very real strides for women in the sense of equal opportunities, equal pay, and so forth. And I think those things are very important. And I think that these things are very late in coming. But I think the extreme measures they're advocating now might not be the central core of the real contribution the women's movement is making.
Now, the feminist movement in general, let's say it's been going on for a long time. Mm-hmm. We'll cut it down to the last 15 years or so. Do you think this feminist movement has helped you, and in what ways?
I think it's beginning to help. I still encounter, and I haven't really encountered this personally, but I know of situations where women have encountered a great deal of discrimination. For instance, in the university, getting jobs equal to men. There is a very great narrow-minded viewpoint on a lot of the men there, maybe because they themselves are insecure, I don't know. So in that sense, I think it's helping, because I think it's going to focus enough attention that within 5 or 10 years, that you won't find institutions like this being able to discriminate solely on the grounds of sex, as I think many of them still do. And there have been studies made showing the number of women actually holding titles of professors, or that actually are in the upper echelons of administration, and it's a very, very small percentage. And yet, in schools and in graduate schools, the universities encourage women to enter into graduate and postgraduate work. So that what they're doing is opening the doors only so far, and then closing the door when it comes to actually, you know, to utilize the skills you've acquired. So I think it's going to make great changes in that. It's beginning to now, and I think continue to do so, in the field of opportunity and pay and so forth, as I've already touched on.
This question came up the other night, and I'm not sure what class, but we do recognize that women aren't getting the university jobs that they mm-hmm. should, and statistically, women being of a greater population than men should probably have at least a percentage of the jobs.
Mm-hmm.
However, would you condone an action where women are hired just to have some sort of balance, like they speak of racial balance now?
Well, they do that right now with Third College at UCSD. And the only way I could buy that, and I did buy it on ethnic basis before, was that you're trying to make up now for past injustices. It's a temporary expediency that you will allow less qualified people in at this point in time, hoping to make up for the injustices in the past, but you're gradually raising standards to the point where it should be all people. Theoretically, and I feel strongly about women too, it should be the best qualified individual, not the best qualified woman or the best qualified man. It should be the person that can best fill a job or best do the task. And I think that's the way that society should be operating. And this, you know, as soon as you can get to that level, the better, as far as I'm concerned. So I don't like it in the sense of tokenism. But I think there have been too many other cases where the best qualified person has been turned down because she was a woman. And that I decry even more strongly. But I don't believe in tokenism just because, you know, you're a woman, you get the job. It might be nice to the woman getting the job, but I don't believe in the principle. It should be the principle of the best qualified person.
All right. Do you see that your position, or do you feel that your position as councilwoman or mayor has affected the betterment of the, let's say, the women in Del Mar, their chances for advancement to public office?
I would assume so. People have been rushing up telling me I've done a good thing for women or anything by being in council. The only way I can feel about it is that if I do a credible job and can operate as efficiently as the men, and I think I can, then hopefully it would make people realize, or help people to realize, now it wouldn't make everyone by far, that women are as competent as men in certain spheres, that individual women are as competent as individual men in certain spheres. So I suppose by setting an example, yes, as long as I can operate efficiently, I would hopefully open the way for more people. We do have one woman on the Planning Commission. We appointed a second one, and then the first woman left, which was too bad because we wanted to get past the point of having just one on various things. And yet I don't think Del Mar, I don't know about this point in time, but earlier, would have put up with or would have elected two women to the council. I think we were still at a stage where if I ran, I don't think another woman, either I would have not won and the other one would have, or vice versa. I don't know if Del Mar would have been ready for two women on the council. Now they may be at this next election. I don't know. But hopefully that would be the case, that it would be not just a token woman or one woman. I like being one woman with a group of men. I think it's neat as far as, you know, my own personal view. And I reflect, I know, the view of a lot of women in this sense. But I would prefer to see more women serving. I'd rather be one of several women on a council, just to show that, that women can do a competent job.
This is Marilyn Shaw's view on the school board as well. She's striving to find a woman right now to run next time, to fill one of the positions, I guess, that's going to be vacant this coming April.
Uh-huh.
So she's zealous in that aspect, I guess.
Yeah.
But not only in Del Mar, well, speaking about the women's movement in general, and Del Mar and specifically, how widespread do you think this women's equality is? The feeling of women's equality?
Women's equality, I didn't understand.
Equality, right.
I think it's more widespread in Del Mar, say, than comparable cities because, again, of our educational level in the city. I think, again, you're dealing with highly educated men that have gone to school with women that are also, very many of the women are highly educated. We had a survey, a census showing the level of education. It's extremely high in a small area, considering, you know, given an overall composition of other cities. So I think for that reason, it would be more accepted here than perhaps other communities. Like, I don't know how well women's equality go over in a blue-collar community with not a very high level of education. I'm equating equalitarian views with education. I may be wrong in my basic assumption, but somehow I feel the two somehow go together more. Now, the other thing that we haven't faced in Del Mar either, and we haven't faced in any other community, is what do you do in the case of a recession? And the women are competing for men's jobs, and that might create a whole different ballgame. And you might get a whole different feeling about women's equality on the part of men. And women's equality, when it's really a threatening of jobs, I just don't know.
What do you see as some of the positive aspects or gains made by women in the last 10 years or so?
Well, first would be the one that women can work now without being considered threat to other women or as letting down their family and children. What's wrong? You're looking at your clock again. You have to turn it off?
No.
Oh, okay. I think, and also the sense that, that women are getting more legal rights that, that they never used to have, and the right to dispose of property and the right to open charge accounts and things. I mean, these things are all coming.
Are these, these legal rights you speak of, are they rights that were there but never exercised?
No, I think some of them weren't. Now, I'm not an expert on the legal field, so I really don't know all these things. But there are some cases I know. For instance, theoretically, women were not free to most institutions. Did not give women, say, the right to have charge accounts in their own name. They could in their husband's name. There was also, I think, various restrictions on women for, you know, leaving property or inheriting. Now, I'm very vague on this, but I do feel from what I've read that there were different restrictions on the rights of women to have. To participate in economic spheres and so forth. Well, I'm not saying that right. But I think there were definite restrictions on women's activities in certain areas that are gradually being removed. And I think there were legal restrictions, not just society frowning on them. But I don't know them. I don't know enough about it to speak thoroughly on this.
Are there any other aspects? You mentioned those few that women have gained positively.
Well, I think women have gained a sense of wanting to do some of these things where before they didn't even realize the alternatives were available. I think the main thing a woman gains, this is from my own personal feeling, is that hopefully a lot of women will prepare themselves to do something with the last 20 to 30 years of their lives when the children are grown up and gone. I don't advocate all women going out and getting jobs because the jobs are there to get now. I think a woman should do what she wants, but I think the woman now is having a freedom of choice or gradually getting a freedom of choice to do what she wants. And I think it's commendable for women to get married and have children and families and devote themselves to creating a home. I think that's one of the most important things a woman can do. But I also think it's important that a woman has skills or training or abilities that she be allowed to contribute those to improve society and the community and the world. And so I think what's happening now is a woman is now being given a number of options from which to choose. I think the opposite side of the coin is I feel very sorry for men because I think they're being threatened on all sides right now. They're being threatened with sexual equality, they're being threatened with economic equality, they're being threatened with
all sorts of threats to their preconceived and women's preconceived ideas of themselves. And I think that's a real, I think it's really hard for a young man growing up today. In a society where he had a certain role that he perceived and was taught to have that role, and now this role is completely being undermined by the changes that are taking place. And I really think there needs to be work done on studying the impact of all these women lives movement on the men, because I think that's going to be an important ramification that no one's really looked into yet.
Well, why do you feel that now women want to get out and from under the traditional blanket where they've been hiding or been pushed?
Well, a lot of it is our affluent society. I mean, that I say affluent, yet a lot of women are going out to earn more money, but it's to earn more money to get more of the things that enhance life. I mean, the luxuries, that not just the necessities. And our second thing is, and I don't think people give enough credence to this, but just as I said earlier, the labor-saving devices that are now available. I mean, where before, I mean, not so much my generation, but say before my time, I mean, I'm sure my parents and my grandparents spent just physically a lot more time around the house because they had to just to keep the house functioning. Now we have all sorts of devices that let us really, after a few hours of work, we're free. We have time that's free to spend on our that's free to spend as we wish. Just as gradually, men are getting more free time because they're cutting to 4-day weeks and so forth. But anyway, just getting back to women, but they're given much more time with which to fill, and so they need more options now to with which to fill that time. And I don't think women are necessarily, a lot more women are educated today than were before. A lot of them aren't satisfied to just play bridge and to, you know, carry on in the traditional roles of once their role as housewife and mother is over, that they fill their lives in with club work or busy work or bridge and so forth. They need something more creative and more stimulating. And again, as I said, that education plays an important part because a woman's been, many women go to college and are taught to fulfill their potential. Then they come out and they're fulfilling it for a while with children and homes and husbands, and then there's suddenly there's nothing left to furnish their potential for. So that I feel that I've really forgotten the question. You're going to have to go back again.
What I asked was why you think women want to get out away from the home, let's say.
But I don't think all women do, and I don't think it's fair either, because there's some women that are being made to feel guilty because they don't want to. And I know many, many women, they're completely happy being around the home. And they may have some artistic outlet around the house. So, I think you have to categorize this by saying that this is true of some women. And then we're getting back to the reasons I gave you, the education. In fact, TV makes a tremendous difference. They're seeing other alternatives open to other women, and they want some of those alternatives.
I see. Yes, we are getting back to what we talked about before. Mm-hmm. What attitudes in your mind are there that still prevent women from doing what they want or gaining equality?
Well, it's not preventing all women, just some. Would be the stereotype view of woman as a housewife and mother, and the sense of guilt she might have if she does something other than that. You know, now I think these are gradually fading. I think women, as I say, are being faced with more alternatives and being given a greater freedom to choose among them. But I would say the things that keep her from it is the stereotype view that we've, and the view of ourselves as women, the view of men as men, that we society has had upon us for so many years. And one which originally, I think, was justified by the economic and social conditions. I mean, in frontier times, the man's function was out bringing home a living, and the woman had a full-time job creating a home. And it really was full-time work, and there really weren't any options for her because there wasn't physically any time to put into anything other than that. But everything's changed. The conditions have changed, and we've already touched on that.
Right. What discriminations, if any, have you felt as a woman? Not only in public, but private life, let's say.
I'm really not terribly aware of them. I'm sure there are some that I just haven't noticed. I haven't gone out in the business world yet, or out in teaching, enough to have been rebuffed for having been a woman. But I know women have undergone this, and I expect that I probably will undergo it myself, and I'll probably get very incensed at it. But among my personal life, I really haven't. I've really almost generally encountered encouragement or pride that I'm doing these things, or pleasure that I'm doing them, or sense of wonder on someone's part, which is flattering to a woman. I mean, you know, my, how do you do all this? It's, you know, very, that makes up for a lot of personal questioning you may have. But I mean, so I really haven't really encountered that, except in maybe a few cases where I get the feedback that, as I say, that the man that wrote the letter about a housewife heading the city council kind of thing. I mean, though, a few views like that. But generally, people have been very supportive and very helpful. And if they've had negative feelings, they haven't even tactful enough not to express it to me.
Alrighty. Getting back to your office as mayor, what benefits does this type of experience offer women?
I think primarily be the sense of having achieved something and having accomplished something and felt fulfilled in a certain way. And the feeling that the challenge was there and you met it and you took it and you did well at it. And it was a facet to your life that wasn't just the traditional role of a woman. And I think you gain in personal experience, you gain in your feelings of working with people and how people work, and the sense of participating in important decisions and having contributed to those decisions as much as anyone else. So I think maybe in the sense of accomplishment and confidence and greater skills, as I said earlier, in making decisions would be some of the things you gain.
Not all women would glory in this sort of job, though.
No, and that's because I keep stressing the fact that I think it's individual qualities that matter, not women or men. It's some men wouldn't want to do anything like this. You know, couldn't care less. So that it really comes down to what an individual needs to make life enriching and fulfilling to him. And I happen to be one of the people that those things make a difference to some degree, and I enjoy it. I wouldn't be doing it if I didn't. I'm not saying it's always easy or it's always thrilling, because there are times it's tedious and there are times it's very frustrating at times, I suppose. But obviously it must be fulfilling for me, or I wouldn't be spending the time doing it. But there are a lot of people who couldn't care less and wouldn't want this, that they have other ways of fulfilling themselves that give them greater pleasure, perhaps, than this would to me.
I see. There it is. I see.
It's all right.
I wouldn't ask you to evaluate your performance as mayor, but I would like you to briefly summarize or evaluate your performance as a councilwoman, since you have been in that position.
Yeah, but I mean, I evaluate in what sense? Compared to everyone else, or what?
Yeah, so compared to, let's say, the male population of the council, since you are the only female.
I'd say that I have made as good decisions and has been valid in my views as any of the other councilmen. I think I've been as fair-minded as any, perhaps more fair-minded than some. I think I have been as conscientious, and I think I'm as intelligent as the other councilmen. So I think I've contributed my share. I won't say beyond that because I really don't know. I mean, that's up to other people to judge. But I think I've carried my share of the load and done it as well as any of the other councilmen. Now, you might find people that might argue this, so I'll give you my own opinion.
Well, yes.
Do you want to see me?
Later, if you have a minute. Yeah, are you leaving?
Yeah. No, I have to pick my boy up and take him to the dentist, and I'll be back.
Okay, if I don't see you, I'll wait, but I'll try to be around, okay? Okay, thank you. Can you put that in the interview, too?
Certainly.
It's known as official communication between the city manager and the mayor, right?
This is not that. It'll be edited later, I'm sure. Do you think there's something in the makeup of women that causes them to... No, I'm going to strike that. No.
Women, are sometimes trained to be more team workers than men. I think they work in situations where they're working together with other women or groups. And that might be an experience that they may bring. Now, this is an intuitive feeling on my part, and I may be judging my own experience. So I think that women maybe bring, in a generalized situation now, I mean, there are always exceptions, a sense of teamwork and working together than many men may have. They're not as competitive as men have had to be. Now, this situation may change, too, with more competition growing among women for jobs, so I don't know. Maybe a conditioned response.
Yeah, individual social Darwinist type of attitude that men have taken is not prevalent in women.
Yeah, but I see women haven't been in the same social situation, so you never know, they may acquire this in the course of the next 20 years after these changes come about.
Okay, I want to go back to a question I meant to ask you quite a while ago in relation to campaigns. You said, well, I had some coffees, but they don't work.
Mm-hmm.
why don't these coffees
people don't
work?
Show up to them very much, don't show up for them very much.
I see.
There were some. I'll tell you, they were better when I first ran. The second time around, people knew me, and most people weren't, you know, most of the ones were going to interested enough to come to a coffee. And so really, when I had a couple coffees, people just didn't come to it because they already knew what my stands were and my views, and they didn't need to meet me again. So I think maybe I might argue that coffees work in certain circumstances, but it's a lot of effort and time spent, and very often to a small group, that you might there might be better ways of reaching more people more easily. I don't know what it is, but...
Alrighty. What are your future plans? Not speaking, you know, of necessarily this week or next
yeah.
week, but the next few years, as far as public office goes.
Oh, I didn't know about private plans. I was going to tell you about getting my dissertation done, which is the biggest albatross right now. I think just finishing up as mayor. I don't know beyond that. I haven't really thought beyond it.
Do you intend to go on and seek another term? It's a one-year term, is it
no,
not?
No, it's 4 years. Oh, mayor.
Mayor.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not sure if I'm serving till the end of my term in office or till 6 months before, until that's resolved, I just don't know. And I don't know at this point if I'd seek it or not. It's a very iffy kind of thing. I have no feeling for it yet. Beyond this being through as mayor, I don't think at this point in time, I'm not planning on running for council again. I think 8 years is plenty. I think you lose your enthusiasm and effectiveness after 8 years. I could always change my mind, but I'm saying that's the way I feel right now.
You feel there's a certain time limit where decadence sets in.
Yeah.
And your effectiveness
I don't know if
runs
decadence.
Out.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, right. Okay. Decadence is a little bit strong. I hate to think of getting decadent after 8 years.
Roman Empire.
Yeah, let's say tired.
Okay. If you don't have any questions, I'm about wrapped up.
I see. I'm